Okay, if you remember last time when we left off, we were talking about how it was somewhat strange that Michael would come back, the archangel would come back with Christ at the catching up of the body of Christ. What's he got to do with the body of Christ? It's kind of a breaking of the trend of the pattern that the angels are there to minister to those who are to receive salvation. And those that receive salvation when Christ returns is Israel. So, but before we get into that, let's review a few of the scripture passages that bear on the topic of God's temporary alienation of Israel. And, well, both ways, actually, of each other. He later is going to gather them back for to be his people. And so let's look at Hosea 1:9 to start off with. Then said God, call his name Lo Ammi, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. What a devastating statement. Man, if God had reason, whether you think so or not, to say that to you, how would you feel? You know, Israel is kind of numb, apparently. They don't seem to care or believe. But that was prophecy. And it was prophecy that at some time in the future, from when Hosea prophesied it, Israel would no longer be God's people, and God said, I will not be your God. We know that God keeps all his promises and his commitments, his covenants. Therefore, we know that God is going to set up a kingdom in Israel, and that kingdom, once it's set up, will last forever. We can see that in Daniel 2:44. And I don't know if that's, I don't think that's in the verse list. But that clearly shows that the kingdom will not end once it is set up. Knowing that, we can see that God's program has not yet started on earth. God, at least the kingdom part of it, God will start it in the future, even though now Israel is not God's people, and God is not Israel's God. And we'll look through the verses that show that. In fact, Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10, we can look at now. Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. And that's a prophecy. It's not Paul in the Old Testament. It's not the mystery in the Old Testament, or the body of Christ in the Old Testament. It's prophecy about something that's going to happen to Israel, about the blinding of Israel and the casting away. They're cast away, as other passages tell us. So look at, we'll look in Acts 28 in the scripture about when that actually happened, when that prophecy took place, when it was fulfilled. Acts 28, verses 17 and 18. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, he said unto them, men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. Excuse me a minute. Yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. Verses 19 and 20. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar. Not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you, to see you and to speak to you, speak with you, because for the hope of Israel I'm bound with this chain. it was, in other words, it was urgent to Paul to get this message that he was charged with, the message, the gospel of salvation, the gospel of Christ, to get that through to the Jews, at least this one more time. And so Paul, bound with a chain, for preaching to Israel that their only hope now was that same hope as the rest of the Gentiles. It was their only hope. So let's go down to verse 23, Acts 28, verse 23, and we'll go through 29 with some interjections there, interposed in there. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses. So that was still valid then, apparently. Out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. What would Paul be telling these people when he expounded to them out of the law and the prophets? We can see from the scriptural records involving Thessalonica, to start with it was Paul's customary approach to start with prophesied facts. He would start with what he called, and Scripture calls, the gospel of God. And then later, Paul would preach to them what Christ had revealed only to him. Therefore, Paul scripturally established the identity of Jesus, the name of Jesus. Believe on the name of Jesus. And that was universal. Anybody that wanted to be saved into Israel's program or into the body of Christ had to believe in the name of Jesus. Believe that he is who he says he was, who the scriptures say he is. So they believed, they were to believe the identity of Jesus, that he was born of Mary, that he was the Son of God, that he was the Messiah that was sent, appointed, anointed Messiah over Israel, and that he was risen from the dead. So Paul told them who Jesus is. He would establish that Jesus was that prophesied Messiah written about in the Old Testament, that they had been long anticipating, and that he rose from the dead. And well, let's look at it in Romans 1, 1 through 4. We'll go ahead and look at those verses about the gospel of God, because an understanding to this is crucial, and a misunderstanding of it. This is lesson 24, chapter 23 and a half. We'd gotten partway through. We're up to Acts 28, verses 23 through 29. When they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses, and we notice that the law of Moses is important at that point in Acts 28. It's not been dropped, apparently. It's referred to by Paul, both concerning the law, both concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. So what would he have been telling them? As far as the lesson, Acts 28, verses 23 to 29, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets. So both of those were still valid then, from morning till evening. Well, what would Paul be telling them? What do you think he would be, we mentioned that in the Thessalonican record, or Luke's record of what happened in Thessalonica in Acts 17, it was Paul's custom or his manner, his approach, his mode of operating, to start with the prophesied facts. As you can read in verses 2 and 3 there in Acts 17. And later, and you know, he in Romans 1, 1 through 4, we'll read it in a minute, he calls that the gospel of God. But later on, after he preached those prophesied facts, Paul would preach to them what Christ had revealed only to him, the gospel of salvation, the gospel of Christ called at that time. It is called at that time. Therefore, Paul scripturally established the identity of Jesus, born of Mary. He told them who Jesus is. They were to believe the name of Jesus. And that's where that what that phrase means. It doesn't just mean that believe that somebody existed by the name of Jesus. You know, I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in the name of Benjamin Franklin and stuff. No, it means believing the prophetic facts about him and his identity, who he really was. He would establish Paul, as he went in here to these assemblies, he would establish that Jesus is the prophesied Messiah, the Christ that they'd been long anticipating, his coming, and that he had risen from the dead. And again, that's named the gospel of God. So if we could look in Romans 1, verses 1 through 4, we'll just review those facts. Right straight out of the Bible, the King James Version, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. That's one thing. And that's not a little thing. Called to be an apostle. He was separated unto the gospel of God. There it is. Separated unto the gospel of God. And people try and make it separated under the gospel of Christ or under the gospel of the grace of God or something. He was separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised. God had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power. That's the kingly line there. Came as a descendant of David. That's where the Messiah, that has to do with his messiahship. Declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So he's the Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead. Only after Paul established those scriptural facts would Paul usually, customarily, go on to preach to them what Christ came to do for them. And, you know, that's the reason for the cross, the why of the cross, it's called. So the scriptures name that, the reason for the cross, what he did for us, they name that the gospel of Christ. So Christ had revealed the gospel of Christ to Paul. Paul called it my gospel. It was revealed to him. He called it the gospel of Christ. It came directly to him from Christ. It has nothing to do with the gospel that Christ preached on earth, which Christ himself called the gospel of the kingdom. So people try and say, no, Christ preached it, it's the gospel of Christ on earth. No, they're different gospels. If you study it honestly and, not acutely, what's the word? accurately, you find that the gospel of Christ was only the gospel that Christ, having ascended to heaven, revealed to Paul, Saul of Tarsus, saved Paul by that gospel, the first one to ever be saved by that gospel. So the gospel of Christ is that sinners are saved by believing on God to save them as he said he would by Christ dying for our sins. So Paul was telling those Jews in Rome, in the Roman letter, the Roman epistle, telling the Jews in Rome that their only hope, actually this was in after he was delivered by Roman officials, delivered to Rome in Acts 28, he was telling them in the book of Acts, you can read it in the last chapter, that their only hope was believing the gospel of Christ, that Christ died for their sins. It didn't have anything to do anymore with a kingdom coming down from heaven at that time. It's going to happen in the future. God doesn't go back on his promises, and he promised that to Israel, not to the church, the body of Christ. It's going to happen to Israel. God has other plans for the body of Christ, as mentioned in the Bible. So serious study is involved here in separating the promises that were made to Israel with what God has written in his word, revealed to Paul, and only to Paul, about the body of Christ. I believe that Paul first identified Jesus as the risen Messiah, the risen Christ. Then he preached the gospel of Christ to them to offer them salvation into the body of Christ, salvation from God's wrath. Since this was Paul's last meeting with the Jews, and it was the Jews' last chance to be saved, because Paul knew that he was about to read to them Isaiah's curse that was their cutting off time. That would be when they would be fully blinded, not just blinded in part anymore, like in Acts 20 when he wrote Romans, and they would be cast away, as he says in Romans 11:15. Again, in Romans 11:2, he said that at that time, in Acts 20 when he wrote Romans, at that time they were not cast away. But he goes on in Romans 11:15 to talk about them being cast away. And that happened in Acts 28 when he reads them that curse from Isaiah. So here's why I believe that it was their last chance. Paul was the one who advised us all to study. Studies, 2 Timothy 2:15. That's how we cannot be ashamed. We can be aware of God's program for today. And Paul was not equipped with Israel's kingdom anointing as the 12 were. The 12 in, you know, Israel's 12 apostles and that little flock had the anointing for a while, but it's no longer available. They died out at the end of that, you know, sometime in there, either in the Roman invasion in AD 70 or soon after that. They were not adding to their number. We see that in Galatians 2:9. They were just ministering to themselves. So in Luke 21, verses 14 and 15, the 12 were told not to meditate on what to say, but that the Holy Ghost would give them the words to say in the hour of tribulation. Paul was not given that anointing, and neither are you and I. Neither is anyone else in the body of Christ. Paul had to study, and he tells us to study, to find out what God has for us. Therefore, going into that meeting with the Jews, Paul knew. He had studied it. He knew he was inspired to preach and what he was inspired to do. He knew that their meeting would end with Paul inspired to enact Isaiah's curse against apostate Israel, blinding them and casting them away until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, according to Romans 11:25. Paul offered he offered to Israel their only hope. And that the wording is in there in verse 20, I think it is. Their final opportunity to believe the gospel of Christ, that Christ was crucified for their sins before the temporary blinding and casting away of apostate Israel. Paul did not stop with merely preaching the gospel of God to them, as he usually would have, as his manner was. Paul preached to those Jews in Rome that their only hope was not the gospel of God. Their only hope by then, because gospel of God would have brought them from apostate Israel into the little flock believing Israel, and they would have died out in that condition. There was nobody being added to them. Apostate Israel would be gone as soon as he read them this curse. So if they would believe that Christ died for their sins, believe the gospel of Christ, that would save them. Christ already paid the penalty for their sins by dying on the cross. If they did not believe, then Christ still died for their sins, but they did not. That death on the cross for them did not apply to those who did not believe it. Same as today. We are justified by faith. We believe on him to life everlasting. 1 Timothy 1:16. Then he enacted Isaiah's blinding curse on apostate Israel. And what a change that was. Nothing changed for the body of Christ, but it was a big change for Israel. That's an Israel event. If you're marking down, you know, going through Acts, the only book that really has both programs side by side in it, both Israel and the body of Christ, you can mark that Acts 28 event as a Israel event, not a body of Christ event. So, verse 24, some believed the things that were spoken, and some believed not. And when they had agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. And you know what a word of consolation is. It's not peace, or it's not some single word. It's a comment. You know what a word of warning is. You better not do that. It's more than one word. Don't get stuck on that comment there that he spoke one word. It's an expression, a message, a statement, not necessarily limited to one grammatical word, but it means a message. Well, what is that one word? This one message that Paul spoke to them, what was it? He said, "Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers." So Paul declares to apostate Israel the prophecy that Isaiah prophesied to be enacted when Israel was finally being blinded and cast away. And therefore, inspired of God, Paul continues, verse 26, saying, "Go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and not understand. Hearing you shall see and not perceive." And that's true blindness there. In other words, their spiritual blinding begins then. No longer are they blinded in part, as Paul had said they were when he wrote his epistle to Rome, all that be in Rome. He wrote that in Acts 20, and they were partly blinded then. We are now reading in Acts 28, though, and we're witnessing the full blinding and casting away of apostate Israel. So let's continue in verse 27. "For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes have they closed." Again, blindness. "Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their heart, with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Reminds you, doesn't it, of, that was directly from Isaiah's curse in Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10. But that reminds me of the holding back of information about the crucifixion that we read about that in 1 Corinthians 2 verses 6 to 8, ending with, if they would have if the rulers of this world had known about it, the princes of this world, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Here, he's saying that they're blinded, their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. What about the body of Christ then? Things would have had to be a lot different if Israel would have accepted their Messiah. So they went through that cutting off, the fall in Acts 7, and they went through the diminishing after Acts 7 till you get to Acts 28, making it harder and harder for anybody that's a Jew to, or Israel in particular, to come to Christ, to the Christ that they knew, even to believe the gospel that was given to them about a kingdom coming. Let's carry on a little further here. Go on to we're looking at Acts 28 verses 28 and 29 now. "Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves." But they had departed. This verse 28 reminds me a lot of Acts. Let me pull it up here. Acts 13, toward the beginning of his ministry. In fact, the first time that we hear him preaching the gospel of Christ, we see that he... it's not working. There we go. "Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent." And here in verse 28, at the end of his ministry to Israel, He says, "Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it." So they went apart, they separated, went their separate ways. The Jews departed and had great reasoning. So reason as much as you want. Apostate Israel had just been blinded and cast away for a while. They'll be brought back by God's doing, but they're still blinded and cast away. Israel had repeatedly ignored, even rebelled against God's offer of salvation for Israel through the kingdom of God coming out of heaven to earth with their Messiah on the throne. Israel rejected it and went on to commit the unforgivable sin. And the result of that was alienation from God, for a while at least, for a long while, until involved, and those untils are important in the scripture. Let's read it, Romans 11:25. In Romans 11:25 we read, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, lest you think you know it all, you know, lest you think you caused Israel's fall. I would not that you be ignorant of this mystery." Here's what they're not to be ignorant of, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Well, in the meantime, they got fully blinded and still waiting for the fullness of the Gentiles to be come in. And that's that until. Israel's blinding has begun, and it continues until it stops, when the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Well, look at 2 Thessalonians 2:6-8. And we see, and now you know what withholdeth, that he, that man of sin, from verse 3 in that passage, in 2 Thessalonians 2, now you know what withholdeth, that he, the man of sin, might be revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth, well, that's a different he than the man of sin, it's the one that letteth or restraineth. Remember, letting is you gradually let something happen, you restrain it. He who letteth or restraineth only... He who letteth will let, or will continue to restrain, the man of sin from being known, until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. And that will be the Lord's coming down all the way to earth, not coming in the air to catch up the body of Christ, excuse me, old habits. But that's Jesus Christ coming down and destroying the wicked, that man of sin that was revealed when the restrainer was taken out of the way. And we'll get more into the angels functioning and the reason why Michael came down with Christ at the catching up of the body of Christ in our next episode, our next lesson.